Let's start the show.
Unlike most programs, the performer hasn't been provided with a script.
Open Line is ready to roll.
Ignition sequence start.
So listen to this. Okay, listen.
Open Line starts now.
All talk, no action.
Oh, well, we try to do action every now and then. Hello, everybody. I'm Charlie Stone. I got Mark Kahn hanging with me today. Have a very special guest coming up, but prior to that, we are here today to talk about what happened on Saturday. It's a shock. But, you know, in some ways it isn't a shock. With the amount of vitriol and hatred spewing, and I'm going to say it from both sides of the aisle, it's not just the Dems, it's not just the Republicans. But I think the one phrase I keep hearing today is we got to grow up in this country. We got to grow up. We have juvenilized ourselves to saying things that we never would have said before. And it's just hatred, and it just builds up, and then, boom, the dam breaks. So we got to change it. And today, I think this whole show, and we'll take your calls as we move through the show today, but we have Michael Letts on, and why don't you introduce him?
Michael Letts is the CEO of Invest USA, who makes the bulletproof jackets for law enforcement and first responders. Also, they're coming up with, they have the newer vests that they're making that will also stop some of the rifle shots. Ooh. As well, whereas the other vests were just for 9mm or handguns. And Michael is a 30-year veteran of law enforcement. Michael, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hang on. There you go. Michael, Mark, thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm Charlie Stone, and we got Mark Kahn here, so you know who the players are.
Well, I was impressed with the introduction. I believe Mark knows about as much about vests as I do now.
Okay, getting pretty close there, Michael. Pretty close. Thanks. You've taught me everything I know.
Now, let me start this out. We're going to have our police chief on in just a minute, but I spent some time in law enforcement in Lincoln, Nebraska. And to be honest with you, it was prior to the real heavy use of bulletproof vests.
Right.
How do you think they have helped, saved law enforcement since its inception?
We've had over 4,500 saves since we put these out. 4,500 officers who are walking today because they had a vest on, who, quite frankly, would have been dead.
Wow.
So that's a huge number. I'm very proud of that number. But I tell people we consider 4,500, but we should have 1.2 million on the street. We're down to about 700,000 across the country now because of this whole mess of defund the police and Black Lives Matter. But anyway, still with 700,000, 4,500 is a lot of saves, but there's a lot more people out there that need help.
And you said that you're evolving now because the vests that you were putting out and have been put out for law enforcement, first responders, were really meant for pistol, meant for, you know, small caliber shots, even 9mm. But now you're coming up with one that actually will help protect against rifle shots. But frankly, there's nothing you can do about somebody who's going to, you know, a true marksman that will try to shoot you through the head.
You know, you're exactly right. The only thing we could have done with President Trump here, and he would never go for it. If he wanted to have a Kevlar or a Kevlar helmet on and, you know, neck padding and the whole nine yards, we could have probably done a pretty good job at keeping the facial spot very minimal. But as you just pointed out, with a good scope, I mean, you can put it between the eyes. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can't protect there.
And he was lucky he turned when he did. That's what the running theme is. You know, and that's amazing. The shot, the picture that you see that looks like the trail of breaking the air, the bullet as it passes by. On that it's just incredible that picture is taken. And it said it's President Trump turning at the right time to talk to the crowd, because most of the people said he normally just looked straight ahead, but this time he was talking to people over on the side and turned just in time for that to happen. And who knows if that law enforcement officer we were talking about, Charlie, the mm-hmm. one that was standing on the shoulder to see where this person was on that roof, maybe he, you know, disjointed that guy's plan enough that he had to try to hurry shots. And that's, I think, that might have saved him. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Michael, as an observer and a rather connected observer via law enforcement, did you see problems with this coverage?
I think you're being kind by saying the word problems.
Mm.
There were huge issues there that, quite frankly, I'm not sure how you can give an explanation to. Well, let's go through it real quickly.
Okay.
You know, obviously, first of all, people need to understand I do work with the Secret Service as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are different there are different security packages. There is a presidential package, but that is only for incumbents, people that are currently the president and the first lady, vice president, et cetera. Then there are security details for former presidents, dignitaries, et cetera. Of course, as you go down from former president down the list, it gets, you know, less and less. But you need to bear in mind that even though Trump in the next couple of days will be the Republican nominee, he is still not the president and was not afforded a presidential package. He has just the former president's package. Now, keep this in mind as well, that you have First Lady Jill Biden and the Vice President Kamala Harris both in Pennsylvania on the same day at the same time. So now the resources are stretched even further. And we're not just talking about personnel, we're talking about technology resources. So you're on a stretch point to begin with. But what we're fixing to talk about is without excuse. It has nothing to do with being stretched or not stretched. So you can back on the scene, you come in 2 days early, they assess it. That particular barn, we're using the word barns for these, would be a primary suspect because it was 130 yards away from the stage, perfect line of sight. So that one should have been tagged. There should have been an officer on that barn, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the first thing. So, but there wasn't. So, but I can understand that. That's a subjective call. We can debate that all day. Now let's get into protocol issues. So we're here on the day. You have the event opens up. It fills up with the audience members. The outer perimeter is secured. Now you have a young gentleman, a young kid, I call him, who's in a vehicle there, who gets out and comes to the barn that it's in question, begins to scale to go up the barn. Now, here's what's interesting. You have people that are outside the perimeter anyway, civilians. They see this. They holler out to the law enforcement, who are both Secret Service and a local and state law enforcement that are out there. There's a guy climbing up the back of the building with a gun. This is not speculation. We have all this on camera. I want you to know that. So this is not a matter to be debated. Is this true or not? We have on camera, the officers turn around and look and see and cite that, okay? But nothing is done. First big question. Why was nothing done immediately? Second question that ties in with that immediately is, if there is a gun anywhere, okay, you immediately holler into your communication system, gun. That is the code word. They immediately move, grab the president, go around and protect him, get him out, get him in a vehicle, get him out of the location. This could have been done before the guy even got to the top of the roof. So that was not done. Second question, second replay, how come gun was not hired? Thirdly, he gets on to the top of the roof. He's crawling around. You can see this on the video. People now on the inside, spectators inside are spotting him. They're beginning to holler. There's a guy with a gun, guy with a gun. They begin to move and scatter because they're a little concerned. They don't want to get hit. So all this commotion, this is 7 minutes before the president was shot. Now go to the next, you know, next level. The president has just come up. He's beginning to speak. You have your CA, which is your counter sniper, two of them, on the barn next to the president. You notice in the video, the first CA has got the sniper in his line of sight 42 seconds before the initial three shots ring out. So he had a beat on him. He had a line of sight on him. Now, what's interesting is this was not a Secret Service officer. Remember, we got the sparing as because you have a lower detail security. But it is a local law enforcement officer that's being used in that position as a CA. He has already come out very quickly because he doesn't want to catch any flack with this. I want to be very clear, this was not my fault. I spotted him, I sighted him, and I request permission to engage and was never given permission to engage until after the third shot had been fired. So, remember, all this is on communications, and he's not just going to cover his ass. we could very quickly find out whether that communication was made or not for permission to engage. So that's the fourth big issue. Why was permission not given to engage? I mean, that's an automatic. That's a huge question, which obviously leads people to say, well, somebody, it couldn't have been the supervisor there that would have made that decision not to engage. He would have known he'd been in deep trouble. Somebody had to, from the top, had to tell him not to not to engage or allow the shot to be taken.
Let me ask that's the same story I heard, that he said, I had this guy in my sights for 3 minutes, and the leader of the Secret Service refused to give me a green light. My question is this, and I don't want it to be a stupid question, but if I have a president on site, this guy's 130 yards away from him, I got him in my sights, he's got a high-powered rifle, he's in a shooting position, why in the hell do I need permission to engage in anything?
Well, Charlie, you sound like me. You're coming from the old, you obviously got a little bit of age on you like I do.
Yeah.
We're coming from the old school. Do your job, period.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask anybody to engage. He's got a rifle.
What is the new mentality? This is not policy now. We're talking about mentality, not policy. Well, if I engage, first of all, with the way the law enforcement has been treated, this is a very true statement, by mass media and by Black Lives Matter, et cetera, a cop is guilty until proven innocent nowadays. Okay, you're automatically in trouble for anything you do.
Hmm.
So now you weigh the assessment. If I'm guilty, that means I'm gonna have to hire a lawyer. I just wiped out my retirement, my finances. I just put my family at economic risk. Plus, you never can tell what happens nowadays. I might end up being the one sitting behind bars. Hmm. So what do we do? CYA. Somebody else tell me. I tell you what I've got. I tell you what I'm looking at. You give me the permission to engage. You give me the permission to fire. That's the problem, Charlie. This has opened up a whole other can of worms that really needs to be evaluated across the country. Have we made it so bad for law enforcement that they can't do their job anymore?
Well, we saw what happened at Uvalde. That was the same thing that they said there. We had to wait. We were waiting for authorization to engage instead of rushing in there and taking out the shooter. And it's easy for anybody who is, you know, not in law enforcement to, you know, make an oversight like that and judgment. But, you know, it's a common sense thing. You look at it and say, why couldn't they go after it? We have our own Sioux City Police Chief Rex Mueller in here with us, and we're going to get to him and some answers that he would have and his overview of what happened on Saturday, too, for law enforcement. Michael, we appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, we really do.
And thanks for giving up some of your time to talk to us this morning on
Open Line. Glad to do it. Thank you all. God bless you. God bless America. And thank you for your service.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michael.
News, weather, sports, and more.
Better listen to the radio.
AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ.
RTIThreads.com is your local source for quality, logoed products. From building your brand to supporting your school, club, or event, RTI Threads is your trusted partner. T-shirts, hats, polos, banners, decals, signs, and more. All ready for you to customize. RTI Threads is also your headquarters for official Cooper DeJean apparel. Check out the new It's Designed tab for products you'll love. Easy to design, affordable products that are simple to order and quick to arrive at RTIThreads.com.
Are you ready to plan your next walleye fishing adventure? Let the experts at Ballard's Resort on Lake of the Woods guide you to your best trip ever. With lodging, fully guided fishing, meals, beverages, the works. You hold the fishing rod, you feel the bite, and you set the hook. Now go to ballardsresort.com and meet the team who will help make your next walleye fishing adventure great. Set the hook with ballardsresort.com.
I'm Mark Stuck, branch manager of Baird's Sioux City office. At Baird, investment and financial planning are just part of the solution. Just as important is our personal commitment to your success. Meeting with you, answering your questions, working with your tax and legal advisors so you can see the whole picture of your financial life come together. Focused on you, no matter what. That's how Baird's been doing business for more than 100 years. Discover the Baird difference. Visit SiouxCity.BairdWealth.com.
This 4th of July, Lazy Days is lighting up the sky with unbeatable deals on a wide selection of RVs from your favorite brands. Discover brand new travel trailers under $15,000 and fifth wheels under $40,000. Looking for budget-friendly options? Lazy Days is celebrating with fireworks-worthy pricing as little as $115 a month. Don't miss out on these incredible 4th of July savings. Stop by or visit LazyDays.com today. Lazy Days of Omaha at Council Bluffs, I-29 North, Exit 52.
Open line with Charlie Stone.
A higher plane of consciousness and awareness.
AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ.
All righty, welcome back. It's Open Line. I'm Charlie Stone. I got JB over there flying the aircraft, and we also have Mark in. We will get to your calls here sooner or later, trust me. But we're talking about probably a shift in America that happened on Saturday afternoon, and part of that shift will connect with our next guest, Rex Mueller, our Sioux City Police Chief. How you doing, Rex? Got to crank his mic a little bit.
There we go.
Y'all set?
I'm all set.
Okay, now he's all set. Well, first of all, thanks for coming in. I guess right off the... How did this impact you when you saw what happened?
You know, anytime world events like this happen, I mean, I remember the attempt on Ronald Reagan. I remember, reading in the history books about things like this that would occur that impacted the national conversation, and our leaders, regardless of party. I mean, these discussions should be nonpartisan discussions. This is not about any party. This is about protecting our leadership and ensuring that the political discourse is civil. And this is first of all, I have sympathy for the retired firefighter that was lost in this, and the two other people that were injured in this. I mean, you have to pray for them, and I'm thankful that former President Trump wasn't injured more severely. I mean, those are blessings, and right off the bat, obviously, I mean, one of the reasons that obviously you've had guests here is that the discussion point goes to what went wrong. And the bottom line is we really don't know what went wrong. People can speculate. We're seeing things all over social media, which can sometimes be wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think I would caution everybody to give this the time to allow this to be properly investigated so that we have solid answers as opposed to rumors, innuendo, and finger-pointing. One of the things that I would wholeheartedly agree with that I heard from some Secret Service experts that were, on the news over the weekend is it is virtually impossible to protect people in open air environments, and that is a difficult task. We've had a lot of presidential and candidate visits to Sioux City. I've had the honor and ability to work with those presidential details in various capacities, and they work very hard to keep our public officials safe. And it is a very hard job. And one of the things that I always noticed is they always wanted more resources than we had. And I understand why. Because they're in a very tough position to protect our leaders who are out on the campaign trail that maybe dictate to them, no, this will be outside. Well, Mr. President, Mr. Candidate, we would prefer to do this inside. Nope, I can reach more people if we're outside. So, again, one of the things I'd caution for anybody is try not to engage in the speculation. Allow the investigation to go on. We will find out eventually the things that were done wrong and probably the things that were done right.
Let me ask you this. As chief of police and as having presidential candidates come to our town and you working with Secret Service, when this first cropped up, did you have a feeling in you that, whoa, this could have been me?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we talk about when we do have visits here where we know we're going to be interacting with protective details, whether it's Secret Service or private security, we've had candidates come here. And the bottom line is any leaders or any public leaders that come here, we want to provide them the best protection we can. And we're part of those layers of security. So when you look at what happened in Pennsylvania, of course, we ask ourselves, oh my God, what if it had happened here? And mm-hmm. you always want to, you always think worst case scenario, what can we do to protect our leaders? To That's a challenge.
And well, I think Ronald Reagan said it when his wife asked him about this kind of thing, and I think it was Ronald Reagan. He looked at her and said, there is no way they can protect me from being killed. They can do a great job, but if somebody wants to kill me, they can. It is what it is.
Yeah, and all of our public officials are, you know, anybody, you know, that puts themselves out there accepts a certain amount of you know, possibility that as a public figure, as an identified figure, you might become somebody's target, and that's unfortunate. But it is, that is part of public service, is that, especially with, you know, very partisan nature of politics these days.
Rex Mueller, Sioux City Police Chief, is with us. And Rex, you know that Iowa being very important in the upcoming elections, as well as the battleground states in Pennsylvania, like where President Trump was, does that change your outlook or your plan if we are going to have Joe Biden or former President Trump come back to Sioux City again?
And they will.
Does that change how you're going to approach this and address this? I know you work with Secret Service. You try to, you know, dot all the I's and cross the T's. Is there anything you would do differently?
You know, I don't think we go into these, I mean, with the thought that, okay, now that this has happened, I mean, every time they've come, you want to think worst case scenario. You want to think, how can our resources best be used? But again, I've about the most impactful thing I heard was former Secret Service saying, there's never enough people, you know, there's never enough resources. And when the Secret Service or somebody comes to our community and they request resources, again, we'll give them, you know, we want to provide the most professional service to our elected officials and our visiting dignitaries as humanly possible. But it's resources are finite for us and for the Secret Service. So, you know, I don't know that this necessarily changes things. We just have to understand that there are evil people out there, and it's just like an officer that goes on the beat each day. Is you try to assume worst case scenarios so that when it happens, you're prepared for it.
Let me ask you this: how does it work in a broad way? Secret Service, let's say Trump is coming, or John Paul Jones or somebody of that level shows up in town. Does the Secret Service, three or four guys, knock on your door, say, Chief, we're with the Secret Service, and here's what we need to do? Is that how it works?
Somewhat. So a lot of these events are not scheduled that far in advance, especially the campaign trail. So sadly, Secret Service or agencies that find out not very far in advance, and so the planning goes, and the Secret Service sends advanced personnel. We assign counterparts to those individuals, interior, exterior detail, motorcade, counter-assault assets. We try to provide, as much contact with our agency with those folks as possible, and they send usually from a field office, personnel from a field office. And then the planning starts, and it's exhaustive planning up until the event, and then it's always a sigh of relief when the jet takes off and nothing happened. You ask yourself, okay, hopefully we did everything.
Is it a situation where we know that you know your community better than anybody? Here's where we're going to be. So you give us some data, some information. But at the end of the day, we're sort of going to be running this show, and you are to provide resource?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it is their event. We become their assets. It's an ask from them, but there needs to be a chain of command of sorts, and there needs to be an operational matrix that allows everybody to function effectively. Communication is a challenge because they have their own frequencies, and you have to partner people up to overcome those challenges, and a lot of logistical things that go on in those events to make them go well. But again, my interaction with Secret Service has always been nothing but professional. Hats off to them. They've done an incredible job. They have a nearly impossible job, especially protecting dignitaries in the environment that they had to in Pennsylvania.
To try to guess any of the scenarios or try to logically look at all the scenarios, buildings, when you're outdoors. You know, he went in the run-up to the last election, he was at the Sioux Gateway Airport and on a bitterly cold night. But you know that that's harder on an outdoor event to try to control it, whereas an indoor event, if he was at the Tyson Event Center, for example, much easier to control because it's a closed building. You don't have to worry about the outside snipers.
Sure.
Is there one that you would prefer?
You know, I think I'm willing to, you know, on the surface talk about some of these things, but I think it's irresponsible for folks that have to interact with and understand some of the tactics and training to openly discuss a lot of these things. Some of these things, some of the assets that the candidates come with and the protective assets are kind of closely guarded secrets for a reason, because we don't want anybody that would pose a threat to create issues. So for me to express what venue I'd like to see him in, I think that's up to the candidate and what level of risk they're willing to accept in coming here. But certainly we would prefer environments where we can better protect our leaders.
It was meant as a hypothetical,
sure.
As you understand.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, is it easier? Would you prefer,
yeah.
You know, something that's closed in? You eliminate some of the threat from, like, the outdoor things. You know, I would think it'd be an easier thing, but it's not going to be your final call.
No, and that's... There are challenges no matter what you do.
Right.
With a venue, with a location, there are challenges there too. So, again, these are up to the experts to try and determine, and then we're there to support them. And that's just what we hope for, is that we can be an extra layer of security and for any of our candidates. And again, this is I'm willing to talk about this because this should be a bipartisan issue. Anytime our leaders come here, we want to provide them with the most professional police services and protection as
possible. And you're absolutely right. This is a situation, and I don't know, we'll talk about it next hour, I don't know if this is a situation did what it should do organically, and that is calm down the temperature and calm down hatred and vitriol. I don't know yet, but I agree with you in total that we cannot fall into that realm of speculation and innuendo. There's going to have to be some serious investigation by all government agencies, especially law enforcement, on what the hell went on and why did it go on and how do we stop it.
And this is going to take a very long time because you have a huge venue. That's basically a crime scene, and anybody that was at that venue is a witness. And cellular data, photographs, the communication between law enforcement agencies. If somebody had body-worn camera footage, that has to be reviewed. You know, that's why I caution everybody to avoid jumping to conclusions and allow the investigation to be completed. There are certainly people that will take advantage of this politically or try to take advantage of this.
They are already.
And that's unfortunate. The way this issue should be looked at is how do we avoid this in the future? That should be the number one takeaway in looking at this event.
Do you expect President Trump or President Biden to return to Sioux City before the November election?
That's up to them. Like I said, a lot of times we will hear about these things at very short notice because the campaign trail is kind of very dynamic and from day to day, and I'm sure they'll make their decisions based on what they see as the needs of the party at the time and who they need to reach out to.
Oh, and one other thing, I'm assuming that when Secret Service comes to town, they not only engage you and the Sioux City Police Department, but also our state patrol.
You know, one of the things that when I was coordinating with Secret Services, I would get every law enforcement agency in the area involved because they requested so many assets. I think the first detail I ever worked was George Bush, and I was the primary point of contact with Secret Service for the motorcade. And we ran out of Sioux City officers very quickly. We had DOT officers. We had Plymouth County. We had Woodbury County. We had ISP, South Sioux City PD. And we very quickly reach out to our law enforcement partners. And this tri-state area is amazing in that Anytime anything happens or there is a need, the tri-state area comes together. It doesn't matter what state you're from. And so I anticipate events like this involving many more agencies than just Sioux City and Woodbury County to provide the most protection possible to anybody that would come here. So, again, we're gonna work very hard to make sure that the experience of the candidate or the individual or the Secret Service coming is that they remember that this Sioux City area, the most professional and, hardworking and operationally ready agencies that they possibly could deal with.
You have a lot of people you can draw on. Chad Sheehan with Woodbury County, also maybe even Plymouth County. Maybe South Sioux City.
Absolutely.
And, and Dakota County. You got a lot of you never are going to be short of people to help.
Not people willing, for sure. I think, again, I keep coming back to what that former Secret Service agent said on a news program is you can never have enough assets and enough assistance and enough protection. And we're going to reach out to all of our area partners. And again, I feel myself very fortunate that we have such great area law enforcement partners. And without a doubt, they will be there if needed, if we have a candidate coming here.
Let me ask you this, Chief. We went through a period of time, defund the police, BLM, all kinds of strange, to me anyway, attitudes. Is something like this, I'm hoping it started to turn around, but do you think this will speed up the turnaround that people will begin to say, hey, you know what, law enforcement's pretty necessary?
Yeah, you would hope so, but I think we live in a bit of an amazing bubble here in Sioux City and in this tri-state area. I think we've always felt very well supported by our citizens. We've always, those relationships and those partnerships that we've established over years and years and years, and the constant outreach that our department, that other departments in our area do to the community kind of insulates us from all that. Now, nationally, what I hope that those issues kind of go away and that we move forward together, absolutely. I mean, that's what we've done here. That's what we've always sought to do. But it takes two. It takes law enforcement agencies that are willing to engage the community, and it takes brave community members that are willing to come forward and join up with us for a common good.
And doesn't it also speak to the need and the necessity of young men and women coming into law enforcement to get the correct training?
Absolutely. Training's huge. Personnel is huge. Hiring has become more difficult. But, when we get young candidates that express an interest, the one thing I'll tell them is that I have not regretted one minute of my years of service there. This is an incredibly honorable profession. You can do so much good. You'll never know the lives you save of a career spent doing this. And I wouldn't change a thing about my career. I feel fortunate to serve this community. And we just have to convey that to the young people that might be considering this as a positive profession. And it is. It's a career. It's more than just a job. It's a vocation that, it's just incredibly rewarding, and I'm thankful every day that I'm allowed to do it.
Well, we are too, honestly. You've been a great police chief, and Sheriff Sheehan has been a great former police officer and now sheriff. So you two together, I think we're very fortunate to have both of you at the head.
That's kind of you to say, but I think that both Sheriff Sheehan and I are fortunate, feel honored to be able to serve this community. I mean, we're nothing without the community support. We're nothing without the officers and the deputies who support us. So, I mean, I'm the least important person in this agency. The officers that hit the street every day, they're the, and the staff that support them, they're the important ones, and they're the ones that that keep this community safe.
One last question that I have, and thank you again, Rex, for answering the call and saying, hey, I'll be up there. We appreciate you coming up here on Open Line to talk about this. But one last thing, and I think this is something that probably most law enforcement, don't you look at, you know that there are certain people in the community that you normally keep an eye on, whether it's drug trafficking, human trafficking, whatever the case is. When you have an event coming into town, do you keep an extra close watch on your basically your target list of people that are, could be troublemakers?
Well, one thing I could say is crime analysis is very important in law enforcement, and I think you guys have probably heard it that a very small percentage of people are actually responsible for an overwhelming majority of the crime. So,
right.
So knowing and identifying and keeping an eye on the people that create the biggest threat to the community are something that we do every day. And then, when you have dignitary visits, obviously those discussions happen. There's information sharing, and there are things that go on behind the scenes to ensure that, you know, that we're adequately considering those concerns. And there's always reporting and information sharing going on. In fact, I think from the beginning of my career till now, our ability to share information has grown vastly, and it gets better every day. And the ability to share and vet that criminal intelligence is critically important to us being effective.
All right.
Well, thank you, sir. I do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. And as Mark said, coming on up here in person, we do appreciate it. Now go back to that office and do your job.
Yes, sir. You're my boss, Charlie.
I'm the boss.
You live here, so I will take my
and
cues.
Move that speed camera.
Absolutely.
What rank did you ever be in as a police officer?
I was just the chief. No, I was just a good old uniform. Yeah. You know? Didn't get in, no stripes.
Every one of them are important, though.
Every one of them. Yeah. So thanks again. Thanks, we'll take a quick break and be back.
Siouxland's premier talkers are always on 1360 KSCJ. Open line with Charlie Stone.
One of the most remarkable finds in the study of human evolution.
AM 1360, FM 94.9 KSCJ.
All righty, welcome back. It is Open Line. I'm Charlie Stone, and we are talking about what happened over the weekend. Interesting sidebar story here. Trump has come out and said, hey, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead. He said the doc at the hospital said he never saw anything like this. He called it a miracle. I'm tending to agree with that. And by luck or by God, many people are saying it's by God, I'm also here. But it's an interesting sidebar. If you remember on the video everybody's seen, he said, hold it a minute, I want to put my shoes on.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, why, what, how did his shoes come off? Well, he let it out. He said the Secret Service guys rushed him. He called it like linebackers and knocked him down while the other one was shooting the gunman. And I guess it was a headshot right between the eyes, so that's good. But he said they did a fantastic job. But as the Secret Service agents rushed me off the stage, I wanted to get my shoes. He says they hit him so hard that his shoes flew right off. And I believe that, because they're not screwing around with this. They came in and pounded on him like Dick Butkus and knocked his shoes right off of his feet. So he wanted to grab his shoes. One of the Secret Service guys told him, yes, sir, we got your shoes. Don't worry about your shoes. Don't worry, sir, we got your shoes. But that's an interesting sidebar. Just got hit so hard by these guys. He said he wanted to keep speaking. And the next hour, I'm going to talk about, you know, when he raised his fist and yelled, fight, fight, fight. You're not going to believe this, but there are people, especially at CNN, who have taken that to task, that have said, oh, there he goes again. All of his hate coming out, even when he's shot. We have other people that are saying this was staged. I kid you not, Mark. Staged.
I haven't seen that, but I mean, that's enough to infuriate anybody.
Yeah.
Staged. Do you think I'd like, if I was the ex-president running to for office again, that I would say, hey, look, just miss me just enough. Maybe hit my ear if you can. I'll make a big, get a picture of it.
Yeah.
We'll get a lot of press out of this.
Yeah, this will get me in office. A lot of people are choosing hatred over prayers for Donald Trump.
So let me ask you then. Do you think that this is going to change the attitude?
I do.
Or is it only a temporary thing?
I'm going to go with temporary now because of what I witnessed immediately after. I'm going to go with temporary, but I hope there's some thread in all of this where we as an American people can calm it down. And we're very sophomoric lately with our political views. We get it on this show. Every show gets it.
Yeah.
You know, that just the worst kind of anger.
People are impassioned on both sides, especially, you know, the Trump supporters and people who, you know, maybe have been on the fence. Now, will this push them over to Trump's side? That has to be seen. You know, we don't know that. But,
well, I believe he's just orchestrated, or events orchestrated, a landslide. I always thought he's going to win, but now I think it's going to be a big win.
Yeah, well, we knew about the big red wave that never materialized, this is a different circumstance.
Yeah, I want to answer a text. Somebody texted that they thought I was surprised that the media still was pounding on him and yada, yada, yada. No, I'm not surprised that the media is still pounding on him. What I am surprised at is that you can have this kind of horrific situation and they still pound on him. Not even take that 30 seconds, that one day, that 2 hours to have some empathy and realize what's going on here. That's what I'm surprised at. Not that they're still doing it. They're going to continue to do it. There are people out there in our media that if you peel back their skull, you'd be surprised at what you saw in there.
Well, you ought to be surprised about some of the texts that even elected officials have put out there about this. You would assume that it was on the Democrat side that it came from, but just vicious. There was a text, and it didn't say it was from anybody in office, saying that, you know, gee whiz, that was just a chip shot. You should have made that. Maybe better luck next time.
Oh, I know who that was. That was the congressman. He was the head of the Jan 6 committee.
Yeah.
And it's his chief of staff put that up on X, and he did the right thing. He turned around, didn't blink an eye, and fired her immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you thinking about? You put a text like that up minutes, hours after a presidential candidate, a former president, is wounded in an assassination attempt, and what are you trying to be cute?
Well, they think that they're adding to their cause, and with this kind of vitriol, you know, it's what it is. It's not going to change. Some people, I think, will sit back and say, let's take a breath, which is what has been the running theme.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's been saying, let's take a breath and examine what went on, what can be changed, how we can protect not only Trump, but Biden,
everybody.
Or the family. You know, you got Dr. Jill out there, and you got Kamala Harris out there. What are we going to do to keep them safe, too?
Yeah.
Somebody in political office, you know, you got to do what you can in order to keep them safe.
Absolutely. So we'll continue next hour. Maybe we'll get your phone calls in. I know this has been good listening. It's been a good show. And I really want to hear from the people of Siouxland who observed. We talked to an eyewitness earlier, but you got to have some feelings on what went on and what has developed. Tonight, the Republican convention kicks underway, and I expect to see him tonight. Wait till you hear that round of applause.
Yeah, he's supposed to be Thursday is his day worry. But you're right. I think he's going to be there tonight.
Oh, he's going to be there tonight.
Just so they'd be in front of the people.
Exactly. So that's what's coming up now a little bit. Matter of fact, more than a little bit, we're going up to Fox News. We'll be back after that on Open Line.
Whatever you need to know, wherever you happen to be, online now at KSCJ.com. This is KSCJ.